Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is January 22. That's right, the 22nd day of 2022. Welcome to the TMGS. You're tuned into the Michael Gay Show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, and my co-host should be joining us momentarily. And happy Saturday to you. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. I don't know where you are around the world, but wherever you are, glad that you tuned in. I'm going to open up the chat room in a moment, and for everyone who do not care to really talk but just like to listen to the show and might want to post some questions or comments. But thank you again for joining us on this Saturday. Today in the first hour, what we want to talk about is really a topic that has been on my mind for quite a while, because I watch how people act and how people do certain things, especially young people. And the conversation I want to have is about common courtesy and self-respect. What happened to it? How come people don't have common courtesy and self-respect? You might be wondering, well, Mike, what are you talking about? Well, I'm sure many of you have seen it. In public, at home, maybe not your home, maybe at someone else's home. No courtesy to anybody. No self-respect for themselves whatsoever. I mean, growing up, my parents taught me to be courteous to people. Be respectful to people. The main thing, be respectful to yourself. Have self-respect. And I look at this generation, and I'm not just going to point to this generation alone, just people, period, now, just don't have those traits. As far as where I stand, I see folks who just don't care about doing the simplest thing of saying, hello, how are you doing? Good afternoon, good morning. Have a nice day. I see people look at people straight in the eye and walk right past them and just don't have, you know, a clue. Or they're too busy on their cell phone. Yeah, that's it. I'm busy. I'm on the phone. Okay, I get that. You're on the phone. But you walked past me 15 other times you weren't on the phone and you didn't even say, you didn't even throw a hand up. You didn't nod your head. You know how as brothers, you know, as we walk by each other, we don't always say, what's up? What's happening, bruh? You know, we just do that head nod, you know. That's that little, you know, that's an understanding. You saying hi, in a sense, of what's up? Just acknowledging each other every day is something I think that people just don't know. Or I'm sorry, I won't say no, just don't do when you're looking right at the person. Common courtesy. I see you, you know. And then self-respect. What is self-respect? Self-respect is when you don't embarrass yourself in public. But people do it every day. Not themselves only, but even their family members, their friends, just do some stupid shit for no apparent reason. No respect for themselves. So we're going to get into that topic in this hour. But in the second hour, we have a special guest, Amazon bestseller, number one bestseller, L Blue, or Ellie Blue. I'm going to let my co-host, Janet Davis, pretty much give you more information on this author. I think it's going to be really interesting because what she is writing about in her book pretty much is in line with what we're going to talk about in the first hour of how to teach your children or having children learn self-respect, I guess, you know, and common courtesy. I see hands are up, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, the lady of the house, the one and only Miss Janet Davis. Let me open up her mic. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And happy Saturday to you.
And happy Saturday to you. Yes, I am excited to have this new up-and-coming author come on our show for an interview and for people to get to listen and hear about her book and also just be able to share her in the future with other hosts on other shows. You know, because she's got a lot of information in just a little small book that is very beneficial. Not just for children, but also for adults. Because there's
some adults who don't have a clue
how to get in tune with their, in touch with their emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point. I like that you said that. Get in tune with your emotions and your feelings. Because some people, you know, they act a certain way out in public, but behind closed door, they're a totally different person.
That's
so
right.
It's kind of like living a double life, you know?
That's right.
And it's not a double life just to the people that know you, but it's a double life that you're living within yourself.
So true.
And
Michael,
that's something
do
that
you know?
You have to understand.
Right. You remember the song Smokey Robinson used to sing, Cracks of My Tears? You know, people say I'm the laugh of a party because I tell a joke or two. So that book sort of reminds me of that because a lot of people, especially adults, don't know how to put on a show, a facade, crying inside, you know, but they're showing everybody that they're just so bubbly and laughable, and they're really not, because they got a lot of different things going on in their lives that are making them miserable. But I always think about that song.
You know, I'm glad that you said that. Right, and that's a good example, because now I can think of another one by the Dramatics called Life of the Party. You guys are hip to the Dramatics. You know, and I'm going to open up another co-host, Mike, who's waving, in just a moment. But in that song says, you know, tonight is the night when I'll see her again. And so if she's with another man, will I hold on? Will I be strong when I see them holding hands? And all of a sudden it changes, you know, and he's laughing and joking. He says, I laughed so hard I almost cried. That's that other side. You see what I'm saying? It's a trip song if you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip song. But see, they don't make songs like that anymore, where it actually makes you think and actually tugs at your heart and makes you think, as I just said. Now it's all about, give me that booty, give me that, girl, you out to shake it up, doop, drop it hot, doop, boop, boop. Oh, it's that B, you know, it's that. And I'm like, wow, you got to be a roughneck. You got to be tough. You got to be... You have no emotions. No, you have no emotions. You are just everything is negative in your mind. Don't show no emotions. That's what it's all about now. And I'm trying to understand it. And that's what we're gonna talk about. Because there's even more to this. There's more to it. Young Dog,
right,
the rapper who was recently murdered. We're going to get into that whole story. But before we jump into everything, let me go ahead and open up this mic. Welcome, and I do believe this is the one and only Cotton Campbell.
The one and only Cotton Campbell. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hey.
Glad to have you. Yeah.
First of all, let's touch base on this Give Me That Booty song Michael just made up.
I just made
this song up. Good. He didn't even go to the WAP. He just went straight to the Give Me That Booty. I was like, okay, Michael, what you been listening to?
Well, that's what they play. I mean, the first verse is straight up.
Right.
Let's get busy. Give me that booty. Look, come on, girl. You know, I mean. And some of the songs, they don't even say booty.
Look, Janet, we might have a number one single right about now. Mike could have made up a whole song. Let's put some music. Let's call Karen and Brian and see if we can get a beat to that.
No, I don't want to be hunted down because some other rapper is mad. They want to kill me.
We need to get you in touch with a manager. Oh, you got, you know.
Right,
me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. We need to get you an agent.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right. I'll pass.
I do want to say thank you for being concerned about me, but I also wanted to publicly thank Denise, because she called me initially. She called me. You know, I'm still a fan on this side of certain artists. I'm a supporter, but I want to say I'm a fan as well, because to get that call was very, it was an honor for her to even think about calling me to just extend prayers and concern for my well-being. So I really appreciate that.
And you're speaking of Denise L. Wilkerson, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, she called me. Initially, and I made a post about it, but I just didn't say her name because I didn't, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm just, but I did want to acknowledge to you guys that she did call me and she did express concern, and she just gave me a little bit of a pep talk and motivational, uplifting conversation, which was really helpful. So I appreciate that.
Well, she's part of the TMGS family, and that's what it's all about, family, not just co-host or, you know, associates,
right.
Family.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that's
I think we've gotten a lot, we've really gotten a lot away from that quite a bit, which is unfortunate. Like, you guys were talking a little bit earlier about some of the type of, which kind of falls along those lines where we do one thing in public and we're somebody else behind closed doors. So, but she just, you know, genuinely, it just comes out for some of us. Genuinely, we are who we are in public and we are who we are in private, you know? So, and I don't think we're teaching, not everybody's teaching their children that, which
That's right.
is unfortunate.
Well, I agree with you. And another thing is that where the reason why I want to talk about this, and keep in mind, I said common courtesy and self-respect go hand in hand.
Ooh. Man,
they really do. You know, if you want to be respected, you have to respect others. So be courteous.
Yes.
Now, Jen and I had this conversation briefly, before, we decided to talk about this topic. But I see people who are just rude. And in my mind, when I watch, I'm like, for what reason? Why is your day starting out like this? Why are you just rude? How come you can't, you know, I see where an elderly gentleman or woman could be trying to go into a store. And not just young folks. I've seen just grown folks, too. Just be disrespectful and don't hold the door for them.
Yeah.
Only going to take a couple of seconds. That's just courtesy. Help them. When we hear folks, each one teach one, help out each other. The simplest thing of holding a door open as you're coming in or out of a store. And better yet, when you do it for a person and they don't even have the courtesy or to say thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I heard one of my male friends, because I do this relationship stuff all the time, and he called me and he said, Cotton, I'm trying to understand this. I held the door for a lady. And my girlfriend got mad because I held the door for the lady. And I'm just like, you need to get rid of that girl. Because if common sense is, if you're just holding the door, you know, because we do. I hold the door for the next woman that's coming in or out. But I said that to say somebody's kid may have been watching that thinking, okay, well, maybe we're not supposed to do this or, you know what I'm saying? Now you're setting a bad example for our future generation because you're upset about nothing, basically, something so trivial, something as simple as holding the door shouldn't be a problem.
Well, let's flip that script. What if you were walking in and you held the door for a man? She held the door for a man. Would he be upset?
This is what we're showing our generation today. And it's not a lot, but it happens more often than people even mention it.
Like, that's right.
Why are we having an argument about me holding the door for some random person? You know, and I've had men, like, go in and literally just not hold the door. Because they... and I'm just
I'm
looking
holding
like,
you down.
I'm standing right here. Right here. You could have just held the door. You know, so... You know, you commend those that do it, but at the same time, it's definitely a conversation piece because it should be happening more often. It shouldn't be a time where you arguing with somebody about holding the door.
Right.
It's common courtesy, I want to point out a few other things. It's just common. It's cold as hell outside. You want to get in the door as fast as you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm walking in and you're right behind me now, I'm going to hold that door that you get in.
Yes.
With that door closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope you say, thank you. You're welcome. And go on about your business.
Yeah. Yep.
But nowadays,
I've gotten on people for not saying thank you. It's like, I said, you're welcome. You know, it's like, thank you for doing that. And then they'll just go silent. I'm like, you know, you can say you're welcome sometimes. It's okay. Like, if you're wondering why your kids aren't behaving a certain way, it's because they're watching you behave a certain way. You know, So we're not setting good examples. Yeah, we're not setting good examples for our kids.
Right. And it's not to say that, you know, for all the listeners. And by the way, if you're listening on the internet, and you don't want to call in and get into the conversation, you can still go to the chat room. Just takes a minute to get hooked up with us on the chat. And if you have any questions or comments you want to post, go ahead and do so, and I will voice your question or comment on the show. But it's not to say that, you know, for generations and generations, every generation did this, but more so in the past and less so in the present. You follow me? And so when you lose those certain qualities about yourself or about just ourselves, period, just being courteous with each other, you lose the connection with people, period. You're shutting folks out. Folks are like, well, hell, you can't speak. You can't, you know. And then it becomes the norm. And what happens when it becomes normal for people not to be respectful for each other? They start being more negative. You follow me? You start being more of a negative person. You know, I find that when I'm at work, every day I go into work, any employee I walk by, half of them I don't even know their names unless I see their name tag. Half of them I don't even work with, probably won't see them the rest of the day. But if I walk past them in the hallway and I make eye contact, fortunately, if they're not on their phone, I'll say, good afternoon, how you doing? Some will walk right on by, and I know they damn heard me, but they'll keep on walking. But some will go, oh, hey, how you doing, Mr. Mike? Hey, Mike, what's going on? If I work with you, I should be able to communicate with you, and you should be able to do the same. Because later on in the day, if I run across you, it's going to have that awkward feeling. At least I'm going to have it because I spoke with you. And then when we're working together and I see you again, I already spoke once. I don't have to speak twice. You didn't want to speak. So where are we now? We still don't have a rapport whatsoever, or we can't, you know, I guess I'm trying to put the right word in there, but it's like, yeah, we work in the same place, but we just don't know each other, and it feels like you don't even want to know me, but we work at the same place. You understand me? It just makes no sense. But then you have some people who will speak, and it makes your day better, honestly. A lot of people hate to go to work. And if you go to work and you have this certain attitude where I'm just here to work, I ain't got to have no friends. You're not going to work to make friends. You're going to work to make money. But at least have a rapport, you know, speak to folks. You'll speak to those customers because your manager will say, if I see you not speak to a customer, I can write you up or whatever, you know. But speak to your coworkers. It makes your day go better. Whatever chip you have on your shoulder, whatever thing that you're going through, it might make you feel a little better. It just might. Because I know it does for me. Whatever's heavy on my mind is negative, and I can see someone smile back and say, hey, how you doing? It takes away that negativity or that thought that I might be in or that funk I might be in. That's a term that we used to use. You know, you catch yourself in a funk. You're freeing yourself of that pressure or whatever is heavy on your mind. People don't do that. They keep that funk on them, and all they're doing is making it worse throughout their day. And if they do it all day, guess what? They're going to take it home. That same funk is going to be on them all day long, even though they took a shower that morning. Whatever is bothering them, they're allowing it to eat them up all day. And then it becomes like a virus. I hope you all follow what I'm saying. Courteous. just being, you know, just having common courtesy can really change your day. I see a hand raised here, and I want to open up their mic. 480-433-480-433. Wait a minute. I'm seeing someone else here. Hold on just a minute, please. Okay, so they dropped. Okay, now they're back. This board is fun. 480-433. I'm going to open up your mic right now. Welcome to the TMGS. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Brother Mike, it's me, Coach Jones.
Jones, okay, you know what?
I got to get your number, man.
What's up? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, I want to say please welcome our new co-host, another family member, Mr. Ron Jones, and he is Park Ranger / Coach Jones. Welcome him as a new co-host. So, what's up, my brother? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, Janet, how you guys doing? I'm just getting my day started a little bit with you guys. I've been kind of busy today. But, yeah, I'm just excited to hear you talk about this topic at the workplace. I kind of missed that first part. So kind of fill me in real quick. What was the title of this topic about the workplace?
Well, the thing is what we're talking about is just common courtesy and self-respect. And so we've been talking about just common courtesy towards each other, you know, just being courteous, the simplest things that you can do, greeting each other, how to address each other. Janet pointed out a good thing about certain things that you say, like sir, yes, ma'am, you know, and this and the other. And we'll get into that. Because some folks don't like to be called ma'am, okay? Some folks don't like a title before their name. And it goes back to just having respect for your elders, you know, also. But just being a courteous person, as we said, opening up the door for a person, holding the door. As Cotton said, this person got upset because the guy held the door for a woman coming in. He ain't trying to hit on her. He's just being courteous. But now that's a problem for a lot of people. Common courtesy. What sense does that make?
Right. We also was going to get into talking about children and how they're being raised in today's society, which has been that way for a long time, but each generation is, you know, different. So we're going to really catch our pieces on that today.
But also what I want to get into, though, Janet, I want to step back a little bit because there's so much that ties us all together, but trying to keep it in a sense of where one piggybacks off the other, for lack of a better term of saying it. But I don't know who this rapper Young Dolph was. You guys familiar? Have you heard of him?
I haven't.
Dolph came out of Tennessee. You know about him, right, Ron?
No, I actually don't.
You don't? Okay, so now that's interesting. I never knew about this guy until some of the young kids who work with me told me, or I heard one of them say, oh, wow, they killed Young Dolph. This guy was an up-and-coming rapper, Tennessee. All right. He was murdered a little while ago. And the murderers, the killers, according to what, if you watch social media, were bragging about it in some form or another. They were on Facebook, had on the man's chains, okay, which is seen in videos. The car, one of the vehicles that was seen, I believe, at the crime scene, is seen in a video by another rapper. So make a long story short, because I don't want to go into the whole detail of it, but social media pretty much gave clues, according to what I'm understanding, to the police who did it. Another rapper. Or so-called up-and-coming rapper. And this guy was getting close. He was showing the police, yeah, you know, that they were involved. But the point I'm saying is that no one solved the murder of Tupac or Biggie, right?
Correct.
Two of the biggest legendary rappers of all time, still loved, music still sells. No one solved those. And that was during the era of the East Coast, West Coast beef. But these are people who were beefing within communities and cities. It's gotten down to that level. I saw an article where over 2,000 rappers had died in 2021 alone, over 2,000. Now, they may not have been big names, but they were known in their areas or their regions, you know. And when I look at the list of all the individuals, they show their photos. You can look it up. And many of them were by gun violence. Gun violence. Some, it said, you know, COVID, of course. No one's immune to COVID, per se, at the time. But have you ever heard of a country and Western artist having beef to the point somebody gets killed? Have you ever heard of rock and roll artists having so much beef with each other till somebody wants to kill the other? Have you ever heard of a classical or opera singer having beef in their industry?
No. Not at all.
What is it about this particular genre of music of where someone might die?
It's the lyrics.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, he's right. The lyrics. Because the lyrics really talk about beefing, fighting, you know, getting paid, you know, it's, you know, having sex, you know. So they're talking about street life.
Took your woman, took your woman, screwed your woman, got her drunk. Yeah, right. All that. And then it becomes personal. It's not art anymore. It's just a personal beef that's being played out among the public. I don't know. That's where I feel like there's something that really needs to be changed with this type of music, because here's young kids who are growing up thinking that's the way they should grow up, and that's the way of, you know, being in the industry. You got to have beef. You got to do this and that and the other. You know, you got to have a threatening thing. I watched the episode of First 48, and you guys know that show, right? And when it comes to reality shows, I don't watch those type of shows like The Housewives, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, or of The Real Housewives of Houston, The Real Housewives of L.A. I don't watch that BS, because the thing is, those are not real housewives. Those are people who got money due to the fact that either they had a business, they were married to a guy who had money, and they sued the shit out of them and got money, and now they're on a reality show, and you know the producers tell them to go ahead and have artificial beef, okay, with each other for the ratings.
Yes.
Okay. It's artificial beef. It's not real. I mean, those girls are all friends because they got to work again next week. They still got to tape it. They got to do another show. But here's the sad part about it, is that these young people, this generation, can tell you every episode and who's having beef with who. Of these rich folks or folks with money, but they can't tell you what's going on with the real housewives of their neighborhood. You follow me? Let me say that again. They can't tell you about the real housewives in their neighborhood, but they can tell you about the celebrities on television. There's something wrong with that picture. The only reality shows that I watch, you know, to be honest, and I see another co-host has popped up, and I'm going to open up his mic. The only reality shows I watch is like First 48, because those are real murders. Those people are really dead. Okay? I watched that. And some folks might be like, oh, I don't want to watch that type of crap because, you know, no, those are people who were actually murdered. You cannot solve a murder in 30 minutes on television. First of all, because you have to do an investigation, it's going to take, there's times they take weeks and months, even years, before they find out who killed that individual to give that family closure. And the other one is court TV. I watch that because those are real trials. That's what's really happening. So all that other BS that people call entertainment is not reality. Not to me. It's not. I got to open up this other mic, and I'm gonna shut up for a moment because I can really go on a rage over this because it really hurts my heart to see how the black community and watching not just the black community, but that's my concern, is thinking that these false TV shows are real, and they're not. And when we sit up here and talk about how we need to, defend each other and bring up the black community. When there's a murder in the black community, nobody knows who did it. Everybody knows. The fear is retaliation. Take about 2 or 3 months when someone starts to speak up because, fortunately, the individual who committed the murder probably killed somebody else and got arrested, or he robbed a store and now he's in jail. Now they feel more comfortable to come forward because, well, now that he's in jail and off the streets, I can tell what really happened. I've seen it many a times. And that's a fact. Open up the mic to California. Mr. Time and Ship, how you doing, my brother? Welcome.
Well, how you doing, Mike? And happy afternoon to you, or evening out there where you are. Janet, how you doing?
Great.
Jones,
great.
How you doing? Mike, why you causing problems, Mike? Why you always messing with people, Mike?
We have to face the issues, bro. I ain't causing no problems. I'm just telling it like it is.
You want black people to speak to each other? What's wrong with you, Mike? You know it's a rule for black people not to speak. Why you always smiling, Mike? Why you always smiling? Nobody wants to see you. Why you smile? You ain't saying nothing. What you got to smile about? I don't trust people who smile all the time, Mike. You know, black people don't like folks smiling all the time. You think you better than me, don't you, Mike? Because you smile.
There it is.
You think you better. Uh-huh. Always saying hello and everything like you just happy. Why can't you have a little pain like the rest of us? You ain't better
than
me, Mike.
Day.
I knew that's what you were doing. You got Jan and them sucked in. Now you want to go mess with my show because I want to watch some fake rotten people. Look at that. You saw they took my favorite show off Flavor Flav. Ugliest brother on TV kissing all the fine women. And you had to go and he's gone, Mike. Flavor Flav is sucking faces with some of the most beautiful women in California. Women as me and I can't get nowhere near. And they took
him
off.
Yeah, I don't understand that one. That wasn't
the killer part, Janet. The killer part was when people at my job were running home to watch the show where the girl got so drunk in the mansion that she end up boo-booing on herself. You hear me? I said, where you going, bro? I said, shit, man, I gotta get home, man. Why? Oh, man, homegirl got drunk. And she took a dump all over the steps. I said, let me get this straight. You're going home to watch a woman who's still
shit on herself,
completely drunk out of her mind.
Right.
And you want to watch her, and you take it. Of her taking a dump in a mansion on some steps. She can't control herself. And you watch her. Yeah. Let's make it away from me. And I said, that's what's wrong with society. Okay? And they thought, oh, there you go, judging us. I guess what you don't want. I said, man, come on, really? go read a book. Read a book. Yep. Know something was going on today. And that's how Trump got in office. He was a reality TV guy. And he conned them because they don't want to deal with reality. That's why that's why Jim Jones got away with what he did. And that's why, Janet, that's why we can sell people a pet rock. You remember the pet rock?
Yeah.
Man took a rock, put it in a box, and gave instructions for that rock on how for you to take care of your rock. And you have to ask yourself now, who's the dumbass? That's all I'm asking. Who is
the ones, the ones who bought the rock?
Yeah, and still got it. And it's just,
By the way, but here's the thing. Not just the pet rock, the chia pet. Has been around ever since I was a kid. The chia pet.
Yes, but Mike,
I thought that was just going to be. Yeah, well, I know that's a good thing for kids to, you know, and everything, but I thought was just going to be.
I was
going to
say, at least the chia pet grows into something. I'm giving
yeah,
you a rock. With instructions. And that dude, hey, before he died a multimillionaire. Selling that he pointed out how ignorant our society is.
Selling rock.
Selling you a rock with instructions.
Yeah. And then remember the mood ring?
Oh, yeah.
You put on this ring and it changed colors. You know, all that stuff.
Wow.
That was genius.
Yeah, with the heat.
You know,
from the heat in your body, it did change colors.
It changed colors. So that's supposed to tell your mood. And as Thomas said, but see, they had a little piece of paper also in that told you what your mood was because of the heat in your body. It didn't necessarily, be honest now, your body's going to change temperatures, you know, the outside of it, of course. But it's going to tell you why, because this thing is on your finger. Oh, your mood has changed. Really? Yes. You're angry over this. You're mad about that. Oh, it feels pretty good. No. The mood ring knows better. You know, I mean, all that type of stuff. Crazy.
So Michael,
and people
they were selling that for $30. And people was buying a rock that you can pick up off the ground for $30 as a pet.
Right, that's true. But staying on point here, let's stay with the topic. The thing is that where I still don't understand us as black people. Will allow people who have money, which that is the fact, to entertain us on television with bullshit shows. With shows like The Real Housewives. You know what? As I said earlier, do a reality show of reality, of everyday people and their lives. As I said
Mike,
earlier.
I'm going to do a reality show called No Survivors. You'll never find anybody.
I want to be on it. I want to be on that one.
Hey, we ain't going to find that. No. Not anybody here. And hey, if you come out here again, they ain't going to find you either. No Survivors.
And you know, it would be funny. That I believe that if there's no survivors in season one, you're going to have thousands of folks signing up for season two. I'm going to survive.
Oh, yeah.
Your guys disappeared, too.
That's funny.
That's the whole thing. But also, what gets me, no survivors, that's funny. But I like to see a reality show called Back in Time. Take some young folks and put them like a survivor type thing back in time where there's no cell phones. You got to use a rotary phone, pay phones. Make a little Hollywood set of a little town of like back in the 1950s, even the 40s. I don't care what decade. And see how they survive. No microwave oven, okay? No cable television. Just two TV stations.
Mike, you know
will be
you know
an entertainment
I work,
show.
You know I work at Juvie. and I talked to a kid. You know, I work at Juvenile Hall. And I told the kid how I came to California. I said, hey, bro, I came here with a little over $100 in my pocket, no family, no friends. I slept in my car the first two nights. He said, you didn't know nobody? No. And I said, if I gave you, I said, and we had a Thomas guy back then. If I gave you my life, I don't think you can make it. He said, that's crazy, man. You didn't have no money. That's all I had, a little over $100.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find me a room. He said, you slept in your car? The first thing he said, oh, I just jacked somebody. I said, no. You can't do anything illegal. You have to, all you have is your faculties, that little bit of $100. You got a car, and you got to find a place to lay your head, and you got to, you know, go and find yourself a job. He said, man, you crazy. Mm-hmm. I ain't doing that, man. I said, see? And you don't know how to survive. So you think robbing people. I didn't rob nobody.
Right.
You know, you got to June of 90, you weren't even born. I said, I came out here in October of 89. I said, you weren't even born. I said, but hey, I didn't rob nobody. You don't, I said, that's what I'm talking about. You guys are telling me about what you do and everything else. No. Mm-mm. That's how you survive.
Yep.
I said, I got this job in a bar on my last $8. He said, how do you do that? Striking up a conversation with a brother about the Lakers. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't looked for a job in almost 35 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you look, relate. Bruh, I can relate because, and I want to get back because I'm looking at the time. I want to get back because we're almost at the top of the hour where our guest is going to be chiming in. But, hey, brother, I know what you're talking about because, you know, I moved here to Georgia years back, and then there was an issue back in California. I caught Greyhound back. When I got off that bus, I had like $45, nowhere to stay at all. Stayed at a couple of friends' house here and there for the limited time that I could stay there. I slept in the laundry room for nights of an apartment complex. Thank God some folks had some clothes still in the dryer, but I would even turn on the dryer just to get some heat. Yeah, I did that.
Mm.
So did. You know? And there's much more to that story, but yeah. But I didn't even think about going to rob anything, a store or a person. I never thought about that. It never crossed my mind. You know. But that's what people do. But before we
so when you ask yourself like I was going to say, when you ask yourself those things, a lot of times it's exposure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't had parents to expose you or to work with you on your social skills, you know, to make you get rid of, remember how your mom used to sit you down and show you how to fill out a job application, showed you how to get rid of your street slang and talk a certain way. Y'all were talking about saying yes, sir, no, sir, and how you doing and speaking. Those are all things that were taught in the home.
Right.
Those are the simplest basic survival skills that you need.
Right.
And
that's
you'll
true.
Make it.
That's true.
But they're not
taught. Hey, I want to throw the ball over. Now, see, this is perfect. I want to throw the ball over into Ron's court since he's Coach Ron. And, of course, Park Ranger. Ron, what do you think about it? What's your take on what we're speaking of as far as, you know, the whole thing that this generation, as far as my point of view, and many of us here on the board, don't have those type of, you know, skills. And just take it from there, what's your thoughts?
Well, I kind of like that. I like your idea of having some type of show to teach skills in a fun way, going back in time. I like
correct.
That idea a lot, putting them in 1950s, 60s, and 70s and see how they would respond to not having a cell phone and things of that nature. That I like that idea a lot because that might give them the tools, like where timing is pointing at. You said one young man said, well, if I was in a situation like that. He would just jack somebody. Well, your idea, Mike, would be perfect is take them back in time so they can mm-hmm. learn some survival skills, like, well, this is how we learn how to do things without the tools that you guys have today, because this generation, I like this conversation, because this generation, like, hey, guys, you guys have the tools to be really successful right mm-hmm. now. I teach out of school sometimes, and some of the kids that I'm teaching, man, they're already doing stocks and bonds at a 15, 16, 17-year-old age. They're like, wow, you guys are doing stocks using your cell phone? We couldn't do that in the 60s and 70s. We didn't know nothing about nothing like that. And here you guys got these phones with these different applications that can do this and that. So, but they don't have people skills. Yeah, they're rude.
Right.
And they don't understand, going back to what you talked about earlier, being nice. They haven't been taught to have common kindness. And mm-hmm. some of it, you guys, is some of it, Janet likes this. She always points this out. It goes back to parenting and your gift, I guess. I can't wait to hear from Ellie Blue. Is that her name? I'm pretty sure she's going to touch on that, because it's all parenting. That's where this starts at. And then it starts with us out here. But I really like that idea of taking them back in time. Like, let me show you what you – let's see how you survive. And then not to use that idea, Mike, to put them down, but use the idea to grow them. And then
correct.
Let them see, like, man, look at what you have now. Yeah.
Right. That would be a reality show. Because true enough, the era would not be what we're dealing with now, but it would be a reality to see how they can handle what we went through, or better yet, you know, depending on the year that you pick. We grew up in the 60s. Well, you and I did. You know, we were born in the 60s.
Yeah.
Janet can take it even further back. She was, you know, she's a little older than we are, you know, and that type of show could go to different eras. The 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, you know, set it up mm-hmm. that way. Still, and again, it's not like 2000. It's not like the 2000s. And how would you adapt?
You know what,
here's the thing. Hold on a minute, Timon. I saw a video on Facebook, and what made me think about that is that when I saw a video on Facebook of where this girl, her grandmother told her to use the phone. And when she said use the phone, it was a rotary phone, right? And you know how a rotary phone was made. She told her, make a call. And the little girl pressed the buttons through the holes. She didn't know to turn the rotary thing. She was like, what do I do? And she's like, dial the number. The girl is just pressing her fingers through the hole. She had no clue, never seen. I mean, honestly, you guys, this really startled me. Like, she's never seen a movie, a TV show that shows her how the old phones actually operated. All she knows is swipe. That's all she knows on a phone now.
Wow.
It's swipe. The numbers you don't know. That's sad that you don't know the history of what you carry every day and you depend on. And everybody has a cell phone now, but you don't know the operation of the original phone.
Well, what I was going to say to you, Mike, is that I've read a couple of books about technology and what it was supposed to do. But one thing it can't do, it does not stop poverty. It does not stop social issues. Okay, mm-hmm. you can, I mean, because they've already proven that they took technology and computers to poor countries in India, and they found that the kids only learn when you had a permanent computer teacher and also someone to if the computers break down, you got to have somebody to work on it. You got to have a good internet. You got to have all these things. If they
correct.
Don't have them, guess what? They go back to doing what they're doing. And also, technology doesn't beat culture. Because all the young girls that were in India were looking forward to what? Getting married at 15, not going to school and getting a degree. They didn't care about technology like everybody else. Why? Because it's not cultural. You know, it has to be only one or two girls actually found it fascinating. You know, even the boys, they were more or less because of their culture. So technology only gets you so far, and you really got to be into it, and there's got to be somebody there to enhance it, to teach it to you, to work on everything, and it's got to be a community type of thing throughout mm-hmm. the school. Why do you think, oh my God, the kids have got to go back and they're going to be learning from home again. Why? Because we're social creatures, and we have to be around folks. You being locked up in a room, as a matter of fact, they don't want to be told to be locked up in a room. They want to be able to be locked up in a room on their own, not when you mm-hmm. say, oh, well, there's a virus out there, and you can't go to your school and be with your friends. That drives them
but
crazy.
Prior to that, though, I'm sorry to intervene because we're getting to the top of the hour, so I'm looking for our guests to pop up on the board. But prior to the coronavirus, I read an article, I didn't read the article. I watched a video of a woman in China. And I'm trying to remember what network did this documentary, in a sense. She works for a company that makes much of Apple's products, the computers. She's never seen one operate. She just makes the chassis. She's never in her life seen a completed Apple tablet, computer, or nothing. She works on the assembly line. And you know she don't get nothing. She really don't. She just gets enough to survive. And the individual that was doing the documentary bought one and gave it to her. Keep in mind, she's never seen one on. And she fell into tears. And they said, why are you crying? She said, because I never knew that my job, my position now, basically what she's saying, brings out this product that does this, that has this. I've seen it on television, you know, but I've never had it in my hand. I've never operated one. Never could afford one. We take it for granted because we can go into a store and buy one anytime we got the money or whenever we want to. But this is a person who makes it. Now, back to like you said, yeah, technology is great, but it gets me when people are just on their phones. If I go into my break room, there's a TV on the wall, but everybody is sitting at a table with their head down, looking straight at their phone, and their fingers are moving. I'm sitting there eating my lunch. You know, it's lunch time. It's not text time. I'll text. I'll respond. It's my break. Technology is not always my entertainment, and unfortunately, you know, with the youth, that is everything.
Yeah.
That is everything.
Hey, Mike.
If you lose your, and to be honest, and I'm going to say, say this real quick. If you lost your cell phone, how many numbers? And I want to ask everybody. In fact, I really want to go ahead and throw the ball over into Kyla's court because she's been quiet for a while. But if you lost your cell phone, how many phone numbers can you actually dial by memory?
Probably one or two.
Honestly, two. And those are my children. So
now,
yeah, I
have
but the other part of that is people change their phone number so
true.
Often. Sometimes it's like I ain't got time to try to remember that.
No. But there was a time that before there was a cell phone, there was an address book, right?
Yeah,
there was
I
an
got
address
one.
Book. So. So you do have, but not many people think about having that emergency address book in case your phone comes up missing or breaks down. No, a lot of folks don't think about that. I write down every number I have, man.
You got to have, I think you should have a backup. People have gotten away from using paper. I don't use certain things I don't want paper for, but it's like that because I had to learn the hard way, and that was that I lost my phone and had no access, and it's like, man, I don't know nobody's number. So I got to, I said, you know what, I'm just going to write down people's numbers and addresses. So, you know, as a backup, Google does a great job of backing up stuff. But if you don't have access, then you still don't have it. So, you know,
what if
what
if Google breaks down? What if Google has an issue? What if your internet is gone and everything? And you know what? The one thing that survives, well, back in the day, was the phone line because it's on a different power source than your house. If you had it hardwired, right? Back in the day, your power could go off, but your phone would stay on. Because it's not connected to your light bill, you know, your electrical bill. Separate power line.
Right.
So even then, if your power goes out, your if you had a hardwired phone and it got damaged by a storm or whatever, but let's say your neighbor got a hardwired line or whatever, at least you have those numbers written down somewhere. So if you can find some way to contact somebody, you have those numbers. But you can't dial them if you don't have them saved. And don't always trust the internet. Don't always trust the internet.
I'm going to do like Simon said. If my neighbor got a hardwired phone, I'm going to jack them and get their phone and use it.
Give me that damn phone.
Give me that damn phone, Jack.
We're going to read about you on the news. This going to be the headline TMGS co-host on the news for Jack and the Neighbor.
We're going to see him on TMZ.
Hey,
no, not on TMGS. We're going to see him on TMZ.
Hey, Janet, when I jack him, I'm calling you up.
Wow.
We'll see you on TMZ. Okay. We definitely will see you there. Okay, so the time is now 7:03, and let's see. I don't see our guest number on the board yet, so let's be patient.
Starts
see
with
what
910. The phone number starts with 910.
910. Okay, I haven't seen it pop up yet. Oh, okay. I thought I saw it there, but I don't see it yet. All right, so I like what Cotton said, though. That is a trip. But in all honesty, you guys, it's going back to what the original topic was about. We did stray a little bit. But self-respect, we talked about common courtesy, but self-respect, as I said, I see folks who just, you know, what irks the shit out of me, and yes, I cuss, what irks the shit out of me is people who are on their phones in public and they're talking to somebody on the phone with their earbuds in, and they're loud as hell at the grocery store, wherever. And to me, it's like, I don't want to hear all that. Do you have to talk that loud? Can't you just talk, you know, like this, like, what happened? And you did what?
She says she's on the phone and she has dialed one, the number one, 910-548.
What's the area code?
910-548.
Let me refresh the board because I don't see it. Okay. All right, now I see it. I'm sorry. I had to refresh the board. Okay. So I'm going to open up the mic in a moment to our guest, but let's get back into that conversation of the show later on in the show. And so let me scroll down and open up the mic to our special guest, and I'm glad that she's here. Janet, please introduce our guest for us, please.
Okay. Family, without further ado, let's welcome our guest to the show and give her a big applause. Welcome, Ellie L. Blue. It's not Ellie, L. Blue.
Hey,
hello,
hi,
everyone.
Hello,
I am just very honored to be a part of the conversation. So thank you for having me.
And we are glad to have you on the show tonight, you know, because I was so excited when you sent me your book and I read it, and I was really excited about it because the first thing I thought while reading it was that not just children, but this book could also help adults who don't know how to, you know, get in touch with their emotions or feelings. And, you know, so, like, I was just really excited that you could come on and just tell us about, you know, your book and some things about you.
Well, thank you. That is absolutely the goal of this book, for children and adults alike. So I really appreciate that compliment.
Yeah. So, L. Blue, the name, is that your birth name? It's a unique name, so I was just wondering, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I would be happy to. So this name is not my birth name. My name is actually Erica Lawson. However, my author name is L. Blue. It is an ode to the people who have helped me become who I am today. My father's last name is Lawson. I look like him, and I act like him at times. Then Blue is the last name of my grandparents, David and Sheila, who adopted and raised me as their very own. They all shaped me in different ways and gave me a variety of qualities and skills, and together you get L. Blue, me and my entirety.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow, thanks for clearing that up, you know, because I was just wondering.
Absolutely.
That was really odd, you know, because at first I thought it was Ellie, you know, until I actually, you know, spoke with you and you said it was L, you know, so thanks for elaborating on that. So in your, I read your bio. So in your bio, you also wrote that how it was for you growing up in rural North Carolina. Can you tell us, the listeners, something about, you know, how it was for you growing up?
Yeah, well, you know, living in North Carolina and being a part of just a respected African-American family, but being surrounded by predominantly Caucasians really helped me value the importance of representation in community. If you go down one street, you may and likely will see Confederate flags, but if you go down another, you will see beautiful and diverse images of people at a barbecue or sharing crops from their garden. And it made me realize that life truly is as beautiful as we choose for it to be. I choose a life of love and inclusivity because those are the things that I value.
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, or should I say Erica, you know, I was very excited about your children's book and the Motion Potion, you know. So can you tell us what inspired you to write a book that helps children understand and how to express what they're feeling?
Yes, so many things went into Emotion Potions, but I can say that I was inspired to write Emotion Potions during the beginning of the pandemic for several reasons. The main one was that I was on social media, and I saw a lot of parents upset about schools closing, and I just could not understand why. Of course, I'm not naive enough to know that school is a source of childcare, and during that time, parents can work and catch a break. But during a pandemic, I would have thought that most parents would be happy that their children were not being put at risk. Then it occurred to me that a lot of people don't know what to do with their children or how to interact with them. Stresses were high. There was a lot of readjusting and readapting going on. So I figured the best way that I could help was to provide others with the opportunity to grow and learn about their children with their children. And that's how Emotion Potions was born.
Wonderful, wonderful. So do you have, I know Emotion Potions is a fantastic book, you know, because it does have a lot of illustrations and examples and things that will, you know, not just help the child. Even if they can't read, they can look at the pictures and be able to understand what the feelings are. So are there any other books in work that you're working currently working on besides, the ones that some?
Of course. So this is my new passion. I hope to make a career out of it. I currently have two other books that I'm working on. Both focuses on care, confidence, and wellness, which is the realm that I hope many more of my books will fall into.
Wow. So what are some of the resources or influences that helped you writing the book Emotion Potions?
Okay. I like this question, although it does have many components for me. I like it. So I do have to mention my grandmother, Sheila Blue, again, because she was a well-known and respected nanny for all of my life and taught me so much about children and how to nurture and care for them. I also have a nephew and four nieces, as my book dedication tells. They are all very different yet similar, and my sister does an amazing job at balancing their various personalities and needs, but, you know, those are just five children. When I was writing the book, I wanted to make it clear that all of us, both children and adults alike, are different, and when we interact, we have to do our best to get to know everyone individually and have grace and patience with them as they are on a constant journey just like we ourselves are. Earlier, you know, you guys were speaking of the lack of respect in this generation, and I believe that during those less than, you know, pleasing interactions, it's critical that we do not take anything personally or assume that we were all raised the same way or know how others are feeling. Instead, we should all focus on doing what we can to set a healthier standard for ourselves, which will naturally pass to others. You know, the best reality to focus on is the one that we create by who we are and what we do every day. And luckily, that reality is capable of changing for the better if we are.
That is so true. So can you explain emotion potions to the listeners, you know, so they can have an idea of how it can be a learning tool or just, you know, inspiration for young children and adults?
Of course. So if I had to describe emotion potions, what I would say is the best way to understand it is to purchase it and see for yourself. However, Emotion Potions, it is a book. It's made for children, but we are all children at different points in our lives and for different subjects and things. Yeah. So it's really a book for everyone, but the illustrations and the content focuses on reaching children at their level to teach them how to manage their emotions in a positive way so that they can start to understand different feelings, how those might affect them, and, you know, how to move through them.
Wow. Okay, so can you please tell our listeners about some of your education? I understand by reading your bio that you've graduated and that you're furthering your education, trying to get another degree. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, education for me is something that is truly critical, and it's quite the investment that I hope others will take on for themselves. I currently have my bachelor's degree in communication, and I am also pursuing my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. Everything that I do is based on how I can better serve others respectfully and competently. And, you know, I believe that valuing effective and efficient communication while understanding human behavior are two of the main steps in fostering community and care. So really my education just rounds out to, you know, how I can better serve others and, you know, be someone that they can listen to and follow.
Wow. And last but not least, on my question, before I turn it over to Mike for the other co-hosts and him and our callers, I wanted you to be able to explain your book, Emotion Potions. What's it about and how I guess it can benefit others?
So Emotion Potions is about managing your emotions in a positive way, in a way that will, you know, still value those emotions and respect them, but also teach children how to work through them, how to understand them in a way that's not detrimental. We all have emotions, but I think it's important that we feel them and then let them go. So I like to, you know, teach others that we do appreciate these emotions and they do influence who we are, how we behave. However, they're not the only factors. So we want to include them, but we don't want them to hinder anything that we do. So therefore, managing them in a positive way helps us to, like I said, appreciate those emotions, but also foster a life that is meaningful and that we would all be proud of.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to turn you over to our host, Michael Gay, and we have other co-hosts on the show. I don't know if Time and Ship is still available, but we have Cotton Campbell and we have Ron Jones that will probably also give comments or questions to you, you know, for you. So, Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And again,
hello.
Thank you, Ms. Blue, for joining us, for being on the TMGS. I was sitting back and listening, and what was so amazing to me that Janet sent me a couple of screenshots of your book, and there was one of the different emotions that children can have, the angry look, the shy look. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
And a friend of mine has a young daughter, so what I did, I put it on my phone and I enlarged it for her to look at it, and I asked her, what do you see? And she said, faces. I said, and she can read. I said, but look at the words underneath those faces. What is that, little girl? She said, shy. I said, uh-huh. And what about the little boy? And she named them all off. Okay.
That's amazing.
I had to help her with a couple of them. But then when I went back to them again, I said, now what is that one there? Angry. Why is she angry? She asked me. I said, I don't know. Are you angry? She said, no. I said, you ever want to be angry? She said, no. I mean, and this was, and to be honest, this was like maybe 4 hours ago. And it's just so amazing how she took to it. And she was like, let me look at that again. And she looked at it again, and she named them again. That's powerful. That's really powerful.
It is.
It's really
is
powerful.
Very much so, and that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. I commend
you
on that.
Thank you, and I commend you on, you know, helping her figure out what those emotions were when she didn't know, because, you know, as the adults and as parents, that is our job. You know, we don't even always know how we're feeling, but if we can better explain it, then, you know, it helps us not only express what we're feeling, but truly get to the source as to why we're feeling that way. So I'm hoping, you know, that all of us, both adults and children, will be able to look at that book and have a better idea of how they're feeling and why.
Right. And the thing is that I'm looking at the board here, and to be honest, you know, you guys, we've had many of shows, Janet, and all the other co-hosts, and I'm looking at the board, and this thing, this is probably, to be honest, I'm looking at folks who's here on the call-in, that are sitting back and listening. And by the way, if you have a question or comment for our guest, please hit the number one. I'll open up your mic, and you can ask her anything. And of course, we're going to share how you can get a hold of the book. You know, it is the Amazon number one bestseller list. So this is something that maybe you don't have a child at that age, but maybe you have a grandchild at this age, you know.
That's right.
And us as adults can actually read the book and learn something from it as grandparents, you know, of how to see those things, those traits from our grandkids. Amazing. Really amazing.
Thank you.
And I've been
fortunate
to
so
see
much.
All this great stuff. Let me ask you something, because it goes back into, as Janet said, which in the first hour, for you guys who are tuning in kind of late, we talked about, you know, common courtesy and self-respect. this book covers a lot of that too, also for children, right? In certain
ways.
Of self.
It does. And, you know, our emotions, a lot of times, for a lot of people, they live in the forefront of how we interact, what we do, how we behave, how we speak. And so to get a better grasp on, you know, our intentions behind everything, I think the first step is to truly understand how we are feeling on the inside. And then you can start to work on not projecting that to others.
Right. That's exactly what I was talking about in the first part. When you go to work and you start having that negative, you bring in a negative force into the work format, and then now it kind of like spreads like a disease, right?
Right.
You know, but why concentrate on the negative when we're all striving for positive? Great point. Great point.
Absolutely.
I want to go ahead and I want the other co-hosts to have a chance to ask you some questions if you're willing to answer them. You know, I'm pretty sure they have quite a few, but I do have a caller that has their hands up, and I want to always give callers a chance to respond and speak to our guests. In fact, here comes another one. 910-813, I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome to the TMGS. Where are you calling from? What's your name? And what's your question or comment? 910-813, your mic is open.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Where are you calling from? And what's your name?
Jillian.
Well, they don't want to say nothing. They said, hey, hi, how you doing? 910-813. I'll ask you again. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Jillian.
Hello.
Hey, loud, Jill.
My name is Jillian, and I have a question. Why did you name it Emotions Potions?
Hi, Jillian. That was the cutest voice that we could open up to, if I do say so myself.
Yes.
I was expecting all adults, so that's amazing. Thank you for calling in, Jillian, and thank you for being brave enough to speak on, you know, a live audience. That's amazing. So I titled the book Emotion Potions because our emotions can sometimes be bottled up, similar to magical potions. And they're also similar to magical potions because we may not always understand all of the ingredients that go into making us feel a certain way. However, once we learn the ingredients, we can start mixing different potions and creating new, more positive magic. And so that's why I decided to name it Emotion Potions.
Wow. That was great.
Does that answer your question, Jillian?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Jillian, I want you to stay on the line. Okay. I got another caller here. I'm going to open up their mic. 910-554. Your mic is open. Where are you calling from? What's your name? And what is your question or comment?
Hi, I'm Brianna. I'm calling from North Carolina, and I would just like to congratulate my girl Erica for her book. And if you're listening right now, please go purchase it. I love you, Erica, and congratulations, girl.
Thank you so much, Brianna. I love the energy. That is awesome. And yes, everyone, do exactly what she said.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. Okay, so I want to go to my other co-hosts who are here on the line. I'm pretty sure they have some questions or comments. And by the way, you guys, again, I have to say that if you're listening on the Internet, if you have any questions or comments and you don't want to talk live, just go ahead and go to the chat room, post your questions or comments. I will read them on the air for our guests. And hopefully we have time. We have about a little over 30 minutes left on the show, and I'll read them to our guest, and she can more than likely give you the answer that you're looking for. And I want you guys to make sure that you go to the TMGS site, follow the TMGS, I need you to follow. Go ahead and hit follow, all right? That's the TMGS, or better yet, www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, and follow the show so you can get more of this.
Do we have any comments, Michael?
I'm sorry?
Are there any comments in the chat room?
He asked for the call.
I don't see anybody in the yet, but I'm seeing. You know what? I have to scroll down here because you know I'm using my tablet to use the board instead of my laptop and my desktop. I'm using the tablet, so I have to keep scrolling. But the thing is, which is so amazing, as I scroll, I'm seeing three more hands being waved. For live comments. But I'll get to the chat room, and then I'll do that. So the people who have their hands waved, please stay tuned. I'm going to open up your mics. We still have a little over 30 minutes. I want to go to the other co-host. I want to go to our new co-host, Mr. Ron Jones, see if he has any questions or comments for our guests. Ron, your mic is open.
Oh, man, Erica, it's a pleasure to meet you on the phone here on the show. And I'm looking at your book. I'm going to purchase this book. And Mike commented on it. I was looking at the faces, too, and I can kind of already read into just looking at the faces without reading the book just yet, all the different emotions. And here's a question I have for you, because I coach football. And so one of the things that I do in coaching football as an adult and as a school teacher also, does this book, will it help a teacher identify emotions if we're just in a classroom or setting or on a football field looking at a kid's face? I think it's important for an adult to be able to kind of recognize, if you will. Is this book
Absolutely.
Will help me as a – yeah, so this book will kind of help me to be able to identify, like, hey, man, you might want to pay attention to that kid right there before you go forward. Your book does something like that for adults?
You know, it was the goal for my book to foster communication, not only within, you know, the children themselves, but also the communication between parents and children, teachers and children, all of us. So, and also I want to mention, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for that lovely compliment. But back to the question. When you purchase the book, you will be able to see that on almost different pages, it actually has little shapes. And those shapes, they're also, you know, a learning element for kids to be introduced to shapes they might not know yet. It has the name of the shape underneath. However, it also has discussion questions that an adult or another qualified person can ask the children that refers to that specific page to kind of foster communication around how they're feeling, how they can start to speak about how they're feeling to adults and others alike.
Man, I love it, because I think it's important for adults to be able to recognize, and I can't wait to read your book. And real quick, my favorite faces, I'm looking at the faces where the brown-skinned kid to the top left corner kind of has his mouth to the side and his eyebrows down. I'm going to use that face when my wife asks me to empty the trash. That's the face. That emotion right there.
You know what? I would suggest a more calm face. I would suggest you be the blue girl. However, you can see yourself in the characters as well. That was definitely one of the motivations and illustrations
for everyone
to see themselves.
I use the blue girl face when she tells me to empty the trash. I'll do that.
So I don't want to lose any time of anybody trying to ask you any questions or comments. I'm sorry, because we're getting down to the last 30 minutes, and trust me, I'm sure that with the people who have questions and comments on the or better yet in the chat room, there are a lot of hands waved. So let me get through with all my co-hosts and let them ask their questions and comments. And then I'm going to get to everybody in the chat room and the people who have their hands waved. Please be patient. because this is a great topic and it's a great conversation. And we're very thankful for you to come here on the show. Cotton Campbell, do you have a question or comment?
I just want to say congratulations to our guest on her accomplishment of getting this book at number one on Amazon. But I wanted to just make a comment, and that is probably some years back. I'm a big Creflo Dollar supporter, and he spoke about not allowing your emotions to control you, but learn to control your emotions. And I think as adults, in order to teach our children how to do that, we first have to know how to do that. And that's good emotion and bad emotion. So it's not just an angry emotion. It could be a happy emotion, because sometimes, you know, we can get overzealous sexual emotion. Like, I had to think about all the emotions that come with what he was saying, because he didn't mm-hmm. say only these emotions. He spoke about all emotions. And sometimes we have to get a hold of that so that we can then, as she has written about, teach our children how to do that as well. So I think it's a great book. I'm glad that you were able to put that out there. And hopefully some adults can learn from it. And Ron doesn't upset his wife with the different wrong emoji face.
Okay. But you know what? But by what you just said, what I learned just by seeing this, I mean, I've seen a lot of the photos of, and I looked at them and I looked at them. The one that sticks out, not more so than the others, but the one that sticks out, well, I guess I can say, is the one that she has there of anger, shy, happy. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And she has these cartoon type photos of kids, you know, which you can put yourself in those pictures, right? So it relates mm-hmm. to not just children, but to adults also. So that's where you can kind of like connect to it by it being in the ways that she did it. Put yourself in those pictures. You follow me? Because I did.
Right.
I actually put myself in those pictures because we all have emotions. Even though quote unquote, a children's book is what you may look at it as. But it's a book, I mean, based on what I've seen so far. I haven't read the entire book. But what I know of it so far is something that we can relate to as an adult. So she's really made this a book that, and why is it number one bestseller on Amazon? Duh. You know, it really reaches out, you know. So,
yes.
Yeah.
That was
really
absolutely the goal for this. So I really appreciate those comments. It is very pleasing to know that the book is doing its job. I work very, very hard with my illustrators, Jeremy Mack and Caressa Johnson, in just creating a book that was truly, truly all-inclusive and showed a lot of representation so that we could all see ourselves in this book. They listened to everything that I had to say, which was a lot, and I'm very, very thankful to them, because without them, you know, I'm not sure that your comments would be the same. And, you know, the truth is that we do all experience these emotions plus several more. And the more that we can understand them, the more that we can understand ourselves as well as each other.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, let me go to the chat real quick. I want to say that there has been some folks who have posted while we're on the other topic. And thank you guys, MTDB25, whatever your numbers are. Well, what we are seeing is the moral decline society. So that was on the other topic. But thank you on that. I'm sorry I didn't get to your response while we're in that segment of the show. And also, Day Lynn News, welcome, Miss. Okay, she's, they say, welcome, Miss Blue. Looking forward to hearing your interview while you're hearing it now. Here's some of the questions or comments. Emotion Potion sounds like a great book for parents to use to interact with their children. Thumbs up. The book sounds very interactive, serving to help others articulate their emotions through the creative outlet she provides in the book, and that's from MTV. Let me see. I'm going down the list a little bit. Some of them are okay, a lot of welcomes. This, okay, Evie Jordan says, this book is a great one. Loving this, Chris Jordan. All right, thank you, Chris Jordan. Let's see, congratulations. Elle, this is fantastic. Have you considered a workbook to accompany the book? Okay. And then another one, no one can make you feel anything you do not allow them to make you feel. You control you. Okay, that's another comment there. Do you want to comment on those posts here in the chat room at all? And if not, what I want to do is open up some microphones.
All right.
Okay, so let's go to, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals who open up their mics. So I want to go to 910-382. I'm going to open up your mic. And everybody, when I open up your mic, make sure you have no background noise, please. No background noise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can keep the integrity of the show sound-wise. So 910-382, your mic is now open. Where are you calling from? What's your name? And what is your question or comment?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Keith. I'm calling from Texas. First off, shout out to my girl, Erica, a.k.a. L Blue, and Jeremy Mack and Caressa Johnson. Congratulations. I love you so much, Erica, and I'm extremely proud of you and the work that you are doing. Emotion Potions is a wonderful read. Chef's kiss. And just as everyone was saying and mentioning, I love that the book is a children's book, but it actually is a book for everyone. And my question for you is, what did you learn about yourself during the process of crafting this novel?
Good question.
That is a wonderful question. Keith, thank you so much for calling. I truly appreciate everyone's support. To answer your question, what have I learned about myself while writing this book? Well, I would say that the first thing that I have learned is that I cannot give out information, especially instructional information, unless I'm willing to follow it. So as I was writing Emotion Potions and encouraging others to manage their emotions in a positive way, I have been on my own journey to be sure that I'm doing the same and can be a prototype to children and adults alike who are on their journey to doing so as well.
Awesome.
Wow, that's, you know what, great question, great question on that, and awesome answer. I want to go ahead and open up another mic, 704-390. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from, what's your name, and what is your question or comment?
Hello, my name is Tabitha. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina. Hello.
Hello.
On your book, it's a really fabulous book. I actually did purchase it, and I have a friend who I shared the book with because I personally don't have any children, although I did love it. I used to be a teacher, and I purchased the book for my friend who does have children. From my perspective as an adult, I'm really excited about Emotions Potions because it actually reminds me a lot of Mr. Rogers when I was growing up, which might be a little too old for you, but you know, Mr. Rogers taught a lot about emotional intelligence and really normalized our emotions because we all experience them. And I think that your book does that too. And it's a really great step in the right direction for our children. So it's wonderful. I also agree with some of the comments here about the the drawings in the book. I really love the illustration, too, because you have so many different races of children in there, and I feel like everyone's really being represented, and that's good for kids, too. Me, I'm a black girl and did not have as much representation in children's books at my age, so I'm really happy that you're able to put that out there, too. I have two comments. My friend who I shared the book with, her child actually is autistic and seemed to really like the puzzle piece thing that a lot of people have commented on with the happy and excited and all the emotions for the children. I wondered if you thought about the autistic perspective when you drew that, and also if there's anything else that we can expect from you. I know this is your first book, but do you have anything else cooking that we can expect to come after Emotions Potions?
Tabitha, thank you so much for your question, and thank you even more for your support. There's a lot of different points in those comments, but I do want to say that, you know, I'm really glad that you were able to appreciate the representation in the book. Again, I worked very, very hard with my illustrators to be sure that, you know, every color was in this book, every child could see themselves in it, so I'm really glad that you were able to see and value that. I am currently working on two other books. One's called Planet Perfectly. The other one's called No Shade. So these books will focus in the realm of wellness. Again, I'm hoping that most of my work will, because that is what I particularly value and hope to add to the world today. I am also working on a YouTube channel. That YouTube channel will have music for the children. And that way, you know, I know that there's different learners. Some are very visual. Some are audio learners. So I would hope to, you know, even make Emotion Potions into a song for children and adults to enjoy. When it comes to you giving the book to others and sharing that, I truly, truly appreciate you doing it. And I will say that I very much so did consider children on the spectrum, neurotypical children as well. To be honest, I have one of my nieces is actually neurodivergent, and so she has different, I will not call them issues. She learns in a different way. And so it was very important to me to make this book something that people could read or they could look at and still know what is going on and could still participate and interact at whatever level that they are on. So thank you so much for sharing that. I hope to get it into the hands of more people so that they can share that same sentiment, because I do think that it's a book for everyone. And I did work really hard on forming it into something that, you know, it's not about, you know, being normal, because what is normal? It's all about meeting individuals exactly where they are. And this book gives them the opportunity to show us where they are.
Wow.
Well, Elle, we got a lot of hands up. We have a lot of hands up, and I want to try to get them all in before the broadcast ends. But here on Blog Talk, yeah, so I want to make sure we get everybody who's called in, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of folks who have some questions or comments. If you guys can, please try to make the questions kind of short, not long, because we are down for our last 15 minutes. And there's a lot of hands up. 808-687, your mic is open. What's your name, where are you calling from, and what is your question, short, if possible, or comment? That's 808-687. You're on the line.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Malik. I'm calling from North Carolina. Actually, you guys pretty much touched on it a few times throughout one of the couple callers calling in. After reading the book,
Hello, are you there? All right, so I'm going to put them on mute for a moment, because I have to use the time you know, in the best way. I'm going to go to 501-772. 501-772, how you doing? Welcome to TMGS. We have our special guest, L Blue. And what's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your question or comment?
My name is Al. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And I just want to say thank you, Erica. Thank you. When I first read the book, I just want to comment on it. When I first read the book, I looked at it as a children's book. However, on reinvestigating it again, I looked at it as an everybody book. She mentioned that we all are children now at some point, and even in relationships, we can act like children. But reading that book again has helped me to channel my emotions in a positive way, or in a more positive way, instead of acting like a child, temper tantrum and all that. So I appreciate you, Erica, and I love you, and I wish you the best. Bye for now.
Wow.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I'm hoping that it will continue to be a source of positivity for children and adults. So thank you.
And fantastic. Okay, let me go ahead and get every hand that's waved before we run out of time. We still have about 15 minutes. And by the way, again, as I said, that this is 15 minutes that it's going to be on the radio, but we can still communicate. We can go into a little bit of overtime here. So let's see, 910-333-910-333. Welcome to the TMGS with our guest. You have a little question or comment, go ahead and share it. But first, tell us, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Grandmom. I'm calling by special request from Jacksonville, North Carolina. Shout out to Elle, in case nobody knows us, Erica's dad. But we love her, and we're so proud of her, and she has shown us a side of her that is amazing and surprising, and we're looking forward to more from her. We love her very much. Congratulations, Erica. L.
Thank you so much. Erica L. Blue appreciates all of the support, and I love you guys very, very much.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, here's another call from 910-265. 910-265. And, of course, I have to say this.
Hello.
Please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment.
Hello. My name is DeLacy, and I'm from North Carolina. And I don't have any questions, but just a few comments. I did purchase the book, and as a single mother of four, it has really come in handy for all of my children and myself. One thing that I'm always expressing to them that when they feel different emotions, you know, it's important for them to feel, and it's okay to feel those emotions, but I just love how the book suggests certain ways that they can feel those emotions and come down from those different emotions, especially the negative ones, in positive ways to have positive outcomes. I'm really excited to hear and see what more L Blue is going to come out with. And my children absolutely love her book. And it is definitely something a book I would recommend to any parent. Definitely, anybody really, but definitely parents, especially with young children and trying to find the balance, the different personalities and everything. But the book is great, and if you haven't gotten a copy, I really recommend that you do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was amazing. Thank you, DeLacy. I am so
You're
happy
amazing.
That your children are enjoying it.
Yes, and they love you so much.
Oh,
and we love you. And we're so proud of you. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Elle, I want to ask you this. There was one caller who said that they don't have any children, but they have the book.
Tabitha.
And they're a school teacher. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Had,
not being a parent, but being a teacher, what do you have to say?
Yeah, we're not in trouble.
Yes, that is amazing for me. That is truly my dream. I knew that, you know, a lot of children and their parents would be purchasing the book simply because it was a children's book, but I was highly confident in the content, and I'm happy that that is being shared more and more because I do think that it is important that we all embrace these emotions and figure out how to better coexist with each other, ourselves, the world around us. So I appreciate everyone who has purchased the book, and it's truly an honor that you guys don't have children and see the value in it as well. So thank you.
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. So I was hearing the background noise. I have to take my own self off of mute. Let me go back to the board and look at how much time we have here. But I have another caller. We still have a little bit of time. You still have time to go ahead and listen to your fans or folks who are just listening into the picture. Okay, so let's go ahead and open up this mic here. 252-342. Welcome to the show, TMGS. Where are you calling from? What's your name? And what's your question or comment?
My name is Janine, and I'm calling from Newport, North Carolina. And I got to say, I purchased the book. My children are grown, and I read the book, but I work at an elementary school. So I bought the book for my counselor and for some of my teachers because we have children with different issues. And the book helped them with their emotions. So I'm really grateful that Erica wrote the book and that it's able to help children grasp their emotions and know that it's okay to feel angry, to feel upset. It's just an emotion that you have and how to deal with it. So I advise everyone to buy it, whether you have children or you don't have children, because it's just really great, a book to help everyone to grow and to know it's okay to express these emotions and to control your emotions. I just want to say thank you, and I'm proud of you, Erica.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that to the fullest. Thank you.
Okay. Erica, I have to ask you this because, I mean, I've been doing this broadcast for quite a few years, and I'm looking at the numbers of, in fact, I won't know the total numbers until the show is over with of who actually listened, because you're on the worldwide network, by the way. This is Blog Talk Radio. And there's probably folks that are listening to this broadcast from other countries. How do you feel about the love and support that you're getting from folks who are calling in and know you, and bought your book? Because you are number one bestseller on Amazon. And also the fact that it was initially, I guess, not in your mind, written as a children's book starting off, but then as you shared, you saw that this could be a helpful tool to adults. This is where, you know, I find it interesting where people write books just for kids or just for adults. You have crossed that line of where it's a book for kids and adults. And we're listening to adults saying, I bought the book. We heard a person say, I don't have any kids, but I'm a teacher, but it's helped me to, you know, communicate with my students. How does that make you feel?
Right. Well, I can say right now, all of the support that I am receiving, have been receiving, that I have had while I was writing the book for the few people who knew about it, it has truly given me you know, my own emotion potions that I have to figure out. Like, it is truly amazing, overwhelming, and just the best, most magical feeling. I am most grateful for that support. And more than that, I am just amazed that people, you know, we talk about where the world is headed and where our youth is going and who's leading them. I am honored to be someone that others would let their children follow, for one. And for two, it is amazing to me that, you know, I am surrounded by people because, you know, you don't always notice it. Like you said, you go into those rude encounters and you're like, what is going on with people? So it's not always right into your face. But in moments like these, you see that others truly do care to share their knowledge with other people, other children, and they want to make the world a better place as well. And for me, that is just the best feeling. I'm so happy to initiate the cause. And, you know, it was always very important to me, even if we're just dealing with children. People ask me all the time, what age range is your book for? I have always answered that there is no age range. Who am I to tell a child when they should know something or when they shouldn't learn something? Children are as competent as we treat them. And so I like to say that, you know, the book is for all ranges because we could all benefit from revisiting this and learning more about ourselves. And that's truly what the book is about.
Fantastic. You know what? First and foremost, and we're getting down to the last few minutes of the live broadcast. I don't know how much time you have left, but I see a lot of folks here on the board. And I'm serious. There's very normally when I have the board this full, it's an entertainment artist, okay? And I've been blessed to have him. And I'm serious. Janet, you have access to the board.
Yes.
Very few folks do. If Janet went on the board now and scrolled, she would be amazed at how many people are sitting here, you know, listening, not through the internet, but just on the board, I mean, the call-in show. And many have waved hands. Some are just sitting here listening to what you have to share about the book. So before we get out of here, though, and we're going to go overtime on the phone call, if you have to, if you don't mind, just briefly.
I do not mind at all.
Share,
it is my pleasure.
Please share how we can get the book. That's what everybody wants to
know. Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I will definitely share that. So, everyone, you can currently purchase Emotion Potions through the back of Amazon. And I am also working on an Audible version so that children can listen to the story while still enjoying the representation and the images. There's more to come, I promise. But for now, you can purchase via Amazon Emotion Potions by Elsie.
Okay, I hear some noise in the background. Whoever that is, please put yourself on mute right now because I don't want to go through this whole board and try to find you and then find you. Okay, put yourself on mute for the quality of the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so
and if he
look,
finds you, he will work through those emotions himself and manage
okay.
them in a positive way.
Amen.
Okay. All right. We got 90 seconds left, but I really want to go into a few minutes of overtime to give some other folks who are here on the board that have some questions or comments. And I see a couple of hands, and also I see some things that are in the chat room I didn't have a chance to read on the live stream. Okay, so you guys that are on the live stream, I'm going to go ahead and check out some questions and comments and read them real quick. We're going to do about 5 more minutes. Into overtime, you will not hear it on the broadcast. I don't believe so on the internet. Okay, so when the show ends, it ends. Unfortunately, all right. So 808-608-687. You have your hand up. I opened your mic before. I'm gonna open up your mic again and let you go ahead and share your question or comment. You still
Thank
there?
You. I had a little bit of technical difficulties. I just want to say congratulations, and what I was saying, trying to say earlier was with I could hear it with Ron and also Tab talking about representation. I just want to ask how important representation is to you while you're writing this book. And then also, I know the book is called Emotion Potions, but what else do you think your book can help teach kids?
So representation was very important to me as I was writing this book. Again, we all have different emotions and we all experience them differently just as we are different as individuals. So I really wanted to be clear that, you know, through representation, not only does that help the communities and populations that do not usually see themselves in books and stories, but it also just reminds us that we are all dealing with emotions and that's okay. The more that we can see that different people are all experiencing some sort of similar phenomena, the more that we will be, you know, able to be transparent and intimate with our feelings as well. And the second question was what?
I said I know the book is the name of the book is Emotion Potions. But what else do you think the book can help teach kids?
Yeah, so when I use the word emotions, I truly think that's everything. I think that it's the way that we talk, the way that we behave, the way that we interact. So when you ask me what else can emotion potions help with, my answer is truly everything. Because, again, the more that we understand ourselves, that's the first step in understanding the people around us and the world that we live in and continue to create. So I think, you know, the more confident that our children and adults alike are with themselves, the more care that we can give to others and the easier and more effectively we can communicate as well.
All right. Okay, hey, you guys, we got to get out of here. And again, I want to thank our special guest, Elle.
Yeah, thank you
so much. We really appreciate you. You have been one of the biggest, I mean, to be honest, one of our greatest guests. Because, as I said, I'm going to take a look at it. And thanks to everyone. All my co-hosts, Janet Davis, Ron Jones, Hyman Schiff, Cotton Campbell, I mean, and all the callers who called in, thank you so much for making this a great conversation, a great show. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS because every show is archived. And if you want to listen to it, go write what I just told you, and you can listen to it again and again and again. Boo, it's been great. Will you be willing to come back on and share with us again when you do your next bestseller?
Absolutely. Thank you all. The pleasure was all mine. I am thankful for you guys for giving me the platform, and thank you to everyone who called or is watching the show. I appreciate and love the support, and I'm truly thankful. Thank you.
And one
and again,
other thing,
before
can
go,
we
please,
share
before,
this
before,
information?
Before, please mm-hmm. share, right, before you go, please share how we can get the book and how we can communicate with you, however you want to do it.
So, yeah, Emotion Potions is available via paperback on Amazon. You can currently get the paperback or the ebook. Just type in Emotion Potions by Elle Blue, and it should come up for you. I also have an Instagram page. It's called Books by Elle Blue, and you can find out more information and contact me directly from there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Elle. We love you. Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to
so
coming
much.
Back again. Janet Davis, I want to thank you so much for introducing us to this fantastic artist. You guys, go ahead. Support what's good, right? So support.
Yeah.
And share it. Having something under your wing is one thing, but when you release it to others that you're benefiting from, you also will benefit for the fact that you shared it. So share this, okay? All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you for tuning in to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Good night, you guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next Saturday with more great conversation, more great topics, and possibly some very surprising guests. God bless. Peace. Bye-bye.